problem with our sermon audio for the moment, so we're going to give our technicians a few minutes just to get that organized. Well, we can sing a few choruses that will bring the older folks back to their childhood, and it will let the children sing well. You know deep and wide, don't you? If you want to join in. Deep and wide.
Deep and wide. Deep and wide.
With the infantry, an F. Up. Rebecca was the only other one standing up. So let's have the leaders, the Sunday school teachers, the children's workers standing up. Anybody else that wants to as well. I may never march. All stand to your feet. And there's another one about a train, isn't there? I'm traveling on the Hallelujah line on the good old gospel train. Something like that. So I think you know it here. In the same keys, okay?
Thank you.
always broadcast on sermon audio, but tonight's sermon audio for some reason is not working. So it's going out on Facebook. So if you know of anybody that is hoping to see it on sermon audio, send them a wee text and they might be able to get it on Facebook. Going to turn tonight in our hymn books to the hymn 700. It's lovely that I get to choose some of the children's hymns at our Sunday school social. And this is one of my favorite ones. All right? Number 700. Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand. Children whose sins are all forgiven. A holy, happy band. Let's all stand to sing. Jesus said, "For of such is the kingdom of God." Thinking of children, we believe that children can be saved. You know, some people believe that they can't. We believe they can. For Jesus said, "Of such is the kingdom." And children are brought to Christ. And if we could see those children who were saved and they passed on early in life into glory, and others who died in infancy, and all those children who have not reached the age of understanding, there they are around the throne of Almighty God. Must be a wonderful sight. How did they get there? Thinking of children who knew their right hand from their left, the hymn tells us, ask the question, how did they get there? And there's only one way, because the Savior shed his blood, and they came to Christ. I want to bow in prayer and ask the Lord to bless tonight as we come into his presence. Lord, here we are in your house. We worship thee, we praise thee, we adore thy glorious name. We thank thee for the one who is high and lifted up, the Lord God Almighty, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being and all his attributes. We thank thee for his great plan in the redemption and salvation of men and children. We thank thee that in loving kindness Jesus came our souls in mercy to reclaim. We thank thee for that day when Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven, came into this world, lived in this life, an obedient life, obedient unto the law, keeping every commandment of Almighty God. And we thank thee that he was obedient unto death. He went to the cross, and there, as our sacrifice, our substitute, and our Savior, he died, took our place, paid the price for our sin. We thank thee that our sins were laid upon him. We thank thee for those who come in simple, childlike faith to trust in the Redeemer. We thank thee, Lord, that through the centuries of time, many children have been converted, and adults too. And Lord, we thank thee for children recently from our children's meeting who have come to know the Savior. We praise thee for that. We pray that you'll bless tonight. May we know your presence. May the children be helped in what they do, every class, the choir as they sing. May God be glorified. May your word be a blessing. Help us, Lord, to be able to bring a message that is suitable, a message that will give understanding and change lives. Lord, you're able to save even this night. Do it for your glory. Bless these children. Bring every one of them to the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll come straight to the program. And as many of you know, this is our Sunday school taking part. And we have the opportunity to receive every class. So every class will do something tonight. And we start with the little ones. So give me oil in my lamp. All right. If you know that and that's your song, you come on up. We're thinking of Casey McGugan, Andrew McConaughey, Eva Fletcher, Charlie Borland, Daniel McMaster, Sarah Craig, Amber Craig, Daniel McClelland, Cassia Park, James Watley, Caleb McConaughey, and Caelan Bellingham. This is the future Hebron choir. So. I think the children, they did really well. They really did. I think they need a wee bit more practice by before they get into the Hebron choir, so Sylvie has a lot to work on as they grow up. But thank you, boys and girls, for taking part. The next piece is called A Box of Crayons, and this is a recitation and singing piece by Reuben Borland, Faye Campbell, Lexi McGuckin, Taylor Craig, Robert Watley, Ethan McGowan, Isabel Stewart, Casey Connor, and Haley Jane Gray. And here they come.
Here's a little box of crayons. Let's look inside. I can see four colors that tell of Jesus when he died. Yellow, it makes me think of heaven that Jesus left behind.
Brown, reminds me of the cross where Jesus came to die.
That saves me from my sin. And now my heart is white as snow. It makes me want to sing.
Thank you, as the children leave, for taking part tonight. They've all got their own wee characters, haven't they? Those wee traits that are coming through, and you wonder, who do they take it after? Is it mommy or daddy, or maybe both? The choir is going to sing now, so we'll ask all the children to come up. I want to walk with Jesus Christ, and I'm adopted. Just as they're taking their place, let me announce the next piece. It's a recitation, the story of Jelly Beans by Lewis McConachie, Andrew Archibald, Taylor Elliott, Arthur Newell, Lewis Parrock, Grace McCandless, and Kyle Docherty.
The story of the jelly bean.
Black is for our sin, the wrong things that we have done.
Red is for Jesus' blood, shed for everyone.
White is for clean heart, in Jesus we believe.
Gold is for the streets of heaven, promised when Jesus we receive.
Green is for growing and hide your word in your heart.
Put your trust in Jesus and give yourself a brand new start.
The Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life."
Very well, thank you very, very much. A lesson from football shirts. A recitation by Kyle Blair, Lennon Blair, Lucas Blair, Luke McCauley, Calvin Mullen, Elijah Owens, Joa Owens, Charlie Wilkinson.
Today we are going to tell you the gospel story with the help of our football tops.
The purple of my kit reminds us of royalty. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and so he demands that we obey his law.
My black kit reminds us of our sinfulness. We are all born as sinners, rebelling against God. We fail to keep his laws each day, and our hearts are black.
My red top reminds us of Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. He suffered in our place for our sins so that our sins could be forgiven.
My white shirt shows us that when we accept Jesus as our Saviour and our sins are washed in his blood, then our hearts will be as white as snow.
My green top reminds us of things that grow, and when we are saved, we grow in faith through reading the Bible and praying.
My gold shirt reminds me of heaven. If our sins have been washed in Jesus' blood, then we will live forever in heaven.
The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool."
Lessons that we've learned tonight, very, very good. The greatest gift of all, a recitation and singing by Adam Archibald, Jake Borland, Emily Parrock, and Tommy Watley.
The greatest gift given long ago wasn't wrapped in paper or tied in a bow.
God's only Son from heaven above, given to us straight from his love.
Lest we forget, please hold on tight to the greatest truth, he is the light.
His gift of love for all to see, his gift of celeste to those who believe.
The Bible says in John 3:16,
That was just lovely, and one young lady to make it nice and sweet to help those men out. Very good. We have now Bible-based poems. Calvi Brindley, Seth Campbell, Kyle Connor, Lewis Elliott, and Charlie Newell.
Moses was in danger. He was hiding in a stream. A princess came to take a bath and heard a baby scream. She hugged that tiny baby and carried him back home and loved that tiny baby as if he were her own. Just like baby Moses, we are always in God's care. He will love us and keep us now and anywhere.
Come and fight me, Goliath glared, but everyone was much too scared. I will fight you, David said. The giant laughed and then fell dead. Now everyone had a stone, but David did not fight alone. God helped young David, yes, it's true. God will help us, me Andrew.
The king said to Daniel, you'll pray just to me, but Daniel loved the Lord, so he couldn't. You see, throw Daniel to the lions is what the king said, but he tossed and turned all night in his bed. Yet Daniel was protected, not a scratch, not a bite, for God had kept him safe from the lions all night.
The disciples thought that they might drown. The tiny boat tossed up and down. Help, wake up, quickly, Lord, they cry. The storm is big, the waves are high. The storm was big, but Jesus said, be still, the waves obeyed. Why had they ever been afraid? The storm was big, but God was there, just like he's with us everywhere.
Any time or anywhere, God is listening to your prayer. Day or night, or spring or fall, he will hear us when we call. Lord, give us what we need today, and be in all we do and say, Lord, please help us love the way you do. We give back all our love to you.
That was a real lion. I don't think he'd be just running out like that there. Thank you, gentlemen. That was very good. There's a little sketch now called The Holiday. William Brindley, Carson Brindley, William Adair, Matthew Cole, Daniel Picken, Joshua Fletcher, and Baron McKinney.
You need a wee break at this time of the year. Homeworks are not a bit easy. I think we can learn some lessons from the Bible from this wee trip. Here comes Samuel and William now.
Hello, Daniel. I thought I would never get to the airport. Thankfully, William here could give me some help. Far too many crews. I know you boys like your fashion, but this is ridiculous. This rubbish weighs a ton. That reminds me of the Rodison we have unless we are saved. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus rips our Rodison. Now, can you give us a hand?
I wonder where Byron is. There's no crack without him.
Hey, boys! Look at me in my sunglasses. I'm out for a while. They're very dark. Can't see much. Can't see much at all. Byron holiday mood. Whoa! Where did these people come from? That reminds me of a verse. The God of this world have blinded those. Blind the minds of those that believe not. Isn't it great that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save our sins when we come to him in salvation?
Well, boys, I might not be much of a swimmer, but I'm happy to splash about with my old friend here. There's a pool where we're going, you know, and the sea is not far either. Nothing beats pulling a wave over your head. Did you boys remember your swimming stuff?
Yes.
This ring reminds me of eternity. No beginning and no end. Whether you're in heaven or hell, I made the right decision to take Mr. Ring with me. And we need to make the right decision or we'll be in eternity.
I was here first. I have the tickets. But I keep thinking I've forgotten something.
I know I didn't forget what I like to do on holidays. I like to read a good book, or two, or three. It helps us just get into another world. You know, I know another book which helps us get into another world, the Bible. It guides us to heaven. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Daniel, was this what you think we forgot?
Money. Useful stuff this and all this. We've all worked hard and I'm happy to be the treasure for this trip. Always has its benefits. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved.
I'm stupid. I know now. It wasn't the money, it's the passports. We need the passports. I wonder, did anyone remember them?
Well, it's good someone has their head screwed on. Well, that would be me, of course. You can have luggage, sunglasses, rubber rings, books, money, but with no passports, it's a no-go. You know what a passport is? It's a document given from the king or queen, giving you safe passage to the land you're travelling to. It's really a privilege to have your own passport with your name on it. What a gift we have on salvation. The King of Kings sent his son to die for us on the cross, so that we may have safe passage to heaven. You know, if we had forgotten these passports, a new holiday. If we forget the Lord Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and reject his passport for salvation, then we will never reach the glory land called heaven. But if we accept him in faith and repentance, our name will be written not in a passport but in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Well, I'm really glad someone remembered the passports and thankful for the lessons we have learned. It reminds me of a wee song. I think I'll sing it to you. One way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. One way to reach those pearls.
Thank you to the young men. Got a valuable lessons to learn there about how to get to heaven, and to Daniel for singing so well. We're going to sing together a hymn just now. And we always at our Sunday school social have an offering for children's work. If you didn't come prepared for the offering, don't worry about that. Just pass the basket on to the next person. 713. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. We'll sing this hymn together and have the offering. The next piece is very appropriate. It says here, God wants me to be myself. And you know, I look at some of these children tonight, and you know, they're just themselves. That's all. And some of them have come, and they're shy, and they're maybe a little bit nervous, and a little bit stage fright there. And others, I think their mums gave them a few E's, you know, those sweets that are full of E's. And they've come tonight, and Julie's just keeping that up at the front here, I see. So all these wee children are really, really hyper tonight. God wants me to be myself. Grace Glenn, Katrina Nicol, and Kendra Elliott.
God wants me to be myself, for he created me this way. And since God made me who I am myself, I'm quite content to stay. In his eyes, I'm good enough. It matters not what others say. I need not act as if I'm tough or copy other children's ways.
God doesn't care if I'm not cool. If I'm not stronger, thinner, in his hands I am a tool to reach out to another sinner. Though I am still young and small, in Jesus Christ I'm strong and tall. So when people look at me, may it be God's Son they see.
Well, the story of Eliza Hewitt, and this is a sketch by Rebecca Blair, Sarah Johnston, Abby Halliday, Catherine McCauley, Sarah Glenn, Sheriff Galt, Jordan McCauley, Toby McCauley, and Scott Blair.
Can there be a purpose in a crippling ailment? Eliza Hewitt may have wondered that. Eliza Edmonds Hewitt was born on the 28th of June, 1851, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She attended the girls' local normal school, where she later graduated as a top student. She went on to become a teacher in the public schools of her city. Things seemed to be going well for Eliza, however much pain and misery was around the corner. Sadly, her much-loved career came to a halt when she was forced to bed with a painful spinal problem. It was believed that this condition developed from being struck in the back by a piece of slate thrown by a male student in her class. While lying in bed, she could have been bitter. Instead, she developed a love of God and the scriptures, and the hope of sharing with others in written form. She studied English literature and began to sing and write. When Professor John R. Sweeney discovered some of her work, he wrote to her asking for more lyrics, which he later composed music for. Her condition eventually improved as she was able to return to serving the Lord. She wrote "There is Sunshine in My Soul Today" after getting her body cast off and being allowed a walk in the nearby park, in the thankfulness at the joy of being able to get about again. She was very committed to reaching children through Sunday schools and attended the Methodist camp meetings in Ocean Grove, New Jersey. She worked with the Methodist district superintendent's wife, Emily Wilson, on the hymn poem, When We All Get to Heaven. Her goal was to reach children through her poems and the message of the gospel. Eliza came to be a close friend of a very well-known hymn writer, Fanny Crosby. The two would often meet up to share fellowship and talk about their love of hymns. Later on in life, Eliza moved to another part of Philadelphia, where she superintended the Sunday school work in Calvin Presbyterian Church, and at a stage it was believed that she taught to a class of over 200 children. Sadly, on the 24th of April 1920, at the age of 68, Eliza passed away, yet triumphantly went to be with the one whom she had written so many poems and hymns about. We can rejoice tonight that Eliza was saved and gave her life to God, and that she had the knowledge that she would be able to spend her eternal life in heaven. Even as we have thought about this great hymn writer and servant of God, we must ask the question, do you know Christ as your own and personal Saviour? Have you the assurance of eternal life in heaven? We trust that if you have, you can join with us in singing a verse of perhaps one of Eliza Edmonds Hewitt's most famous hymns.
Have this one. Thank you, Clifford. Thank you to the young men and the ladies for taking part tonight and again doing so well and teaching us something about that famous hymn writer. Creation Station, and this is singing by Millie Blair, Naomi Johnson, Sophie McCauley, Alicia Morrison, Bethany Fletcher, Sarah Halliday, and Sophia McCandless.
Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth.
God made the sun and the sky so bright.
God made the stars to twinkle every night.
God made the flowers and the trees to grow.
God made the wind and the rain and the sun.
And the one who made all these things I see
is the Saviour who loves little girls like me.
Was absolutely beautiful, and we trust the Lord will bless it as we think of the God of creation who made all things. We have a scripture and catechism recitation by Kerry Halliday, Isaac Atkinson, Jonathan Ray, Samuel Picken, and Keziah Owens.
During this year, we've been learning many catechisms and scripture verses from Matthew and Isaiah, and tonight we're going to recite some for you tonight.
What is prayer?
Prayer is an offering up to the Sire and to God for all things agreeable in his will, in the name of Christ, and the confession of our sin, and the thankful acknowledgement of our mercies.
What do we pray for in the first petition?
In the first petition, which is hallowed be thy name, we pray that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all that whereby he makes himself known, and to dispose all things to his own glory.
What do we pray for in the second petition?
In the second petition, which says, thy kingdom come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened.
What do we pray for in the third petition?
And the third petition, which is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God, by his grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things as the angels do in heaven.
What do we pray for in the fourth petition?
In the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessings with them.
What do we pray for in the fifth petition?
In the fifth petition, which is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, we pray that God, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon all our sins, which we are the rather encouraged to ask, because by his grace we are enabled by the heart to forgive others.
What do we pray for in the sixth petition?
In the sixth petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray that God would either keep us from being tempted or support and deliver us when we are tempted.
What does the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teach us?
The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, which is, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever amen, teaches us to take our encouragement in prayer from God only, and in our prayers to praise him, ascribing kingdom, power and glory to him. And in testimony of our desire and assurance to be heard, we say amen. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 9, who hath believed our report, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, for he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, he hath no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought to a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And he was taken up from prison unto judgment, and who shall declare his generations? For he was cut out of the land of the living, and the transgression of his people was he stricken. And he made a grave with the wicked, and the rich in the death, because he had done no violence, neither did any decent in his mouth.
Verse 1 to 16, and when seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you.
Ye are the salt of the earth, and if the salt have lost its savour, wherefore shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Ye are the light of the world, a city which is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, nor set it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Just to confuse you, Clifford, we've come to this one, but it's up already. That was excellent, young men and women. And when you learn the doctrines of the Bible and the Word of God going into your heart, it's a very, very powerful thing, and it will do you good for the rest of your life. I'm going to have singing now from four young ladies, and they're going to sing He Paid a Debt. Lydia Owens, Leah Atkinson, Elisa Nicol, and Emma Taylor Dunlop.
Thank you.
goes without saying that was lovely, it was sweet, well done, and may the Lord bless it to us. The story of D.L. Moody. This is the last little piece for the young people, and it is a sketch by Aaron Johnson, Curtis Parrock, Rebecca Owens, Jenny McCahon, Toby McCauley, Scott Blair, Jordan McCauley, and Gemma Halliday.
The year is 1852, the place, Northfield, Massachusetts, in the United States of America. Dwight Lyman Moody is a boy of 15.
Dwight Moody, your heart is filled in a freight wagon, and you hold more too. When are you going to start growing? I do believe you'll be the smallest boy to gain your class this year.
Oh, Mum, I wasn't planning on going back so this fall. I read and write good enough. I was thinking more of going out and getting a job somewhere.
You ought to finish school. Besides, you were never apprenticed to a trade. All you know is farming.
Oh, Ma, I want to earn my own money. I want to travel. I want to see places.
Dwight, your brothers are happy enough here farming the land. Why can't you be?
D.L. Moody's spirits didn't go away, and 2 years later he left home and travelled to Boston, hoping to find employment in his uncle's shoe store. Because of D.L.'s reputation as a rather wild young man who is forever playing pranks, his uncle at first showed no interest in employing him. Eventually, however, he took pity on him and gave him a job. The poor employees at Holden & Co. now became the brunt of D.L.'s practical jokes.
What are you doing, D.L.?
I'm taking the top off the seat, that's what I'm doing. That's that, Jane. Pass me yon bucket of water. Here, put it in below. Just wait till the old doll sits down, then the fun will start.
She'll kill you, dear. She'll hear me well.
Listen, I hear her coming. Act normal, if you can, that is.
Morning, folks.
Morning.
You're the pain of my life. It was you, wasn't it? Get out of my sight before I brain you.
Moody's uncle had given him the job on the condition that he attended Sunday school and church each Lord's Day. This Moody did, and it was here he heard the gospel faithfully proclaimed and was confronted with his need to turn from sin and trust the Saviour. His Sunday school teacher, burdened for the soul of his young pupil, one day came to the store where Moody worked.
Good morning, Dwight.
Good morning, Mr. Kimball. Anything wrong?
No, nothing wrong.
Then how about letting me sell you a good pair of shoes?
No, Dwight. I've come to speak to you about something more important.
Okay, here, have a seat.
Dwight, you've heard what I'm going to say many times before, but I felt the need to come and tell you again today. The Lord Jesus loves you, and he gave his life for you, and all he wants is your love in return. Will you not come to him today?
That morning, in the shoe store, D.L. Moody gave his heart and life to Christ. Shortly after his conversion, Moody started a Sunday school of his own, where numbers quickly grew to 1,500. One day, he had to take the class of a teacher who was ill. He later described his class as the most frivolous set he had ever met.
Settle down, class. I do want you to enjoy the lesson today.
Settle down, Jack. Can we not do something different today, Mr. Moody?
In what way different? We're here to learn about God's word and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's try our memory verse.
Mr. Moody, tell him to stop annoying me.
Boys and girls, settle down. Remember where you are.
Door and telling them to go and never come back. A few days later, the girls' Sunday school teacher staggered up the stairs to Moody's office.
What's the matter? You look awful.
I feel awful. The doctor says I've had a hemorrhage in my lungs, and I must go back to New York State. Mr. Moody, I'm going home to die.
But you're not afraid of death. You're ready to go.
No, I'm not afraid. But I'm anxious for my class. Not one of them has been led to the Lord Jesus. I haven't the strength to do it now. Mr. Moody, I've failed.
Listen, suppose you go around and tell them how you feel. I will go with you. In a carriage, if you want to go.
Yes, I want to go.
During the next 10 days, the two men visited the Chicago slums where the boys and girls of the Sunday school lived. The Lord worked in a wonderful way, and the teacher had the joy of leading each one of his class to Christ. On the night before he left Chicago, the class with Moody gathered in the teacher's home.
I want to thank you all for coming tonight. I know I won't be in this earth for very much longer, but it thrills my heart to know that I will see you all in heaven one day. I want to read to you from John chapter 14.
Let's all have a time of prayer.
We knelt to pray. Then something happened which Moody said kindled a fire in his soul which never went out. One by one, the young people began to pray, and as he listened to the stumbling prayers of these new converts, his life ambition was changed forever. No longer did he desire to become a great businessman, but rather he resolved to spend his years of his dying teacher has spent these last 10 days. From then on, Moody's life was given wholly to the service of his Lord.
One of the greatest stories in history, the salvation, the conversion of D.L. Moody, and then subsequently what God made him into a great preacher who went around mostly in America preaching the word, came over to the United Kingdom too and saw hundreds of thousands of people saved. I want to thank all the children collectively, from the choir right down to the smallest ones that took part earlier. We'll give them one final round of applause to thank them. I want to talk to you tonight about books. Who likes reading? Who likes to put your hands up? You know, it's very, very good to read. It's important to read. And words are very, very powerful. All right? There's a man called Benjamin Franklin, and this is what he said. Give me 26 lead soldiers, and I will conquer the world. Do you know what he was speaking about? The English alphabet, 26 letters. He thought they were so powerful that with words made from the letters, he could conquer the world. Now, I have many books in my study to help me so that I can learn personally for myself. And whenever I study for messages and for missions and for other things in the church, I can turn to these books and I can read what other people have said. And it really, really helps me in my ministry. There was a man in the Bible called Festus, and he spoke to the Apostle Paul one time. Do you know what he said to him about reading and studying and learning? He said to him, "Much learning doth make thee mad." Huh? What do you think of that? In other words, he was saying, Paul, you are out of your mind. You study too much. You read too much. You learn too much. And it's made you go a little bit bonky here in your mind. Reminds me of the wee fella. And he said, the more I learn, the more I know. The more I know, the more I forget. The more I forget, the less I know. So why should I study in the first place? Now, that's not the example that you want to take. You want to learn. You want to read, and you want to learn. And you want to do that in school, of course. And when I come to the assembly on a Friday morning in our own school here, I always tell the children, you got to learn, you got to read. It's very good for your education. But more importantly, when it comes to spiritual things, you want to learn about the things of God, those things that are contained in this book, which is the Word of God. We call it the Bible. Now, I brought some books with me tonight, and I hope it'll be helpful for me to just share some things with you this evening. And I'm going to put them into categories, because that's the way they are in my study. If you were to go into my study, you would see one wall is covered in books. Don't know how many I have. There's maybe 700 books or something like that. I haven't read them all, but I do turn to them, and I do read them when I need to. The first one, first section is called history. Who likes history? Huh? Do you know what history is? What's history? Huh? The study of things in the past. And I have lots of history books. And this is one of them. It's called John Wycliffe. All right. He lived a long time ago. Very long time ago, over 600 years ago in the 14th century. And if you were to go out into our fellowship area, you will see on the wall there's lots of famous people who lived in church history. And he's the first one. We have them in chronological order. That means when they were born away back centuries ago, right round till you come to the end one, which is a missionary called Amy Carmichael. But John Wycliffe, he was used by God to translate the Bible. This is a very famous picture. Can you see the picture? Sometimes ministers and people will have this hanging in their study. And this is John Wycliffe here. And he's got a lot of men around him. And he's sending them out to preach. They were called, I don't expect you to remember all these things, but they were called Lollards. Lollard preachers or Wycliffe preachers. And way back whenever he was translating the Bible, he didn't know Hebrew and he didn't know Greek. The Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek. But there was a translation of the Bible into Latin. All right, some of you might study Latin at school when you get older. And it was called the Vulgate. And he translated from the Latin Vulgate into English. And they didn't have printing presses. All right, we have printing presses today, so you can put these books into print and get nice type to read. They had to write the Bible by hand. It took a long time. And so these scriptures were written, and John Wycliffe, he sent out his preachers to tell men and women about the gospel. So you should learn about history, especially church history, and we learn about this man, John Wycliffe. And then there's another section in my study, and it's called theology. All right, when you go to Bible college, you're going to learn theology. And theology proper is the study of God. And this is a very important book for us because it contains all the great doctrines and all the great teachings of the Bible, and it puts it down into writing so that we can go through and see what the Bible teaches on justification, sanctification, and adoption, and all these great truths of the Bible. And it's called the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Larger and the Shorter Catechisms. Now, you as children, you might learn the Child's Catechism. When you get a wee bit older, you'll go to the Shorter Catechism. And it's great to learn theology because it does tell us about God, who He is, and what God's purpose is in this world and in your life. And then there's another section in my study, and it's prophecy. Do you know what prophecy is? Someone told me what history was. History's looking back. What do you think prophecy is? Looking forward. And one of the great teachings of the Bible is this. Can anybody read it? What does it say? Shout it out. The coming of Christ. That is still to happen. Jesus came in history. He came the first time. He went to the cross. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. But He's coming again. And children, I wonder, are you ready? Mom and Dad, are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Because as He came the first time, it is certain He's coming back again. And prophecy is a wonderful subject. I love that subject. And then there's another section in my library, and it's called biography. Now, what is a biography? Naomi. Shout it out. I'm getting deaf in my old age. I'll have to come down, Naomi. What is it? Somebody's life. Okay. So, here is the life of... Can you read that? Gypsy Smith. I love the story of Gypsy Smith. And whenever I go over to Romania and we visit the Roma community, the Gypsy community, it's lovely just to go into the middle of a group of Roma people and tell them the story of this man who lived in England 150 years ago. And he was brought up in Epping Forest. And his father was always in trouble. Sometimes gypsies are in trouble, and his father Cornelius got into trouble. He went into prison. But when he was in prison, he heard the gospel. A pastor came in and shared the gospel, and Cornelius got saved, and that changed his home. It's a wonderful thing when fathers or mothers get saved, and it brings great changes in a home. And it did for these boys, because now these boys were being taught the gospel, and Rodney, as he was called, became a Christian, and his brothers. And they were only teenagers, and soon they began to sing. They were called the Gypsy Singers, and they began to preach. And Gypsy Smith grew up to be a famous preacher who traveled over to America 50 times. And he had great missions in America and great missions here in the United Kingdom. And they say there's never a time that he preached but somebody was converted to Christ. Not a wonderful thing when people get saved. And Gypsy Smith saw a lot of people converted. Now, this is biography. There's another one, and it's called autobiography. So if biography is the history of someone, what is an autobiography? Do you know? Whenever you write about yourself, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but there's a great preacher who lived in London, and his name was Spurgeon. Okay, when you hear preachers, sometimes they'll talk about C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he preached for 30 years to 6,000 people morning and night. And they came from all around London and further afield, and sometimes they held great meetings, great gospel meetings, and tens of thousands of people came to hear the word of God preached. This man is called C.H. Spurgeon. It's an autobiography. And then there's another section in my library, and we could call it expository, and it's expounding the great truths of the Bible. And there's one of the Ten Commandments. This is God's law. This is how we are to live in this world. God has given it to us. I'm going to move on very quickly. There's another section, and it's called commentary. And this is where men write upon the Bible. They might take the book of Genesis or some other book, and they will write, and they will try to explain what the Word of God is teaching. And this wonderful man is called J.C. Ryle, and he wrote a commentary on the Gospels. And it's one of them. If you want to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get this man's writings, and you try to read it along with the chapters of the Gospels, and you will learn so much. He was a great man of God. And then there's another section, and it's hymnology, the study of hymns. And didn't we hear a wee bit about that tonight? Famous hymn writer. Does anybody know any other famous hymn writer? I saw one there tonight with dark glasses on. Do you know what you called her? There's a picture of her right there. Fanny Crosby. And you will read about great famous hymn writers and why they wrote their hymns and the background to them in books like this. And then there's another section, and you can call it the explanatory part. Things that I need to explain to me. So you get dictionaries. Have you got a dictionary at home to look up words? There's a Bible dictionary. Sometimes you come across some of the history in the Bible, or maybe a person in the Bible, or maybe a word in the Bible, and you're not too sure about it. You want to learn a wee bit more. You get a book like this, and it'll explain a little bit about those individuals and those names in the Scripture. It is a dictionary of the Bible. And then you might even get Dr. Kearns' book. This is a really informative book. It's called A Dictionary of Theological Terms. Imagine that. And all those great doctrines. There's a wee word in the Bible. It's really a big word in the Bible. And it's called propitiation. And you know, sometimes when you read a word like that, you sort of say, what does that mean? I don't understand it. And if you want to know what that word means in the Bible, you can get a book like this and look it up. And it'll tell you what it means. And it really is a wonderful word, because it's telling us about the work of Christ, what he came to do, how that Jesus Christ came into this world to take away our sin. And he did that by the sacrifice of himself. And when he sacrificed himself, he turned away the wrath of God from us. And you see all those sentences that I've just told you? I can sum them up in one word. Propitiation. I'll talk to you about that some other time. And maybe if you go to Bible college, and even if you don't, you might want to buy a book like this. Because this is a dictionary of New Testament words. All right, would you like to read one? You see, it's in Greek. And you just mightn't be able to read it, but it explains the Greek language to you. And these are books that are very helpful. But children, the best book of all is the Bible. Some of my books fell down, and here it is, the most precious book. Do you see all those things that I've talked to you about history and so forth? It's all in here. Everything that you need to know to make you wise, everything you need to know in time and for eternity, it's all in this book. And this book is the one that really stands on top of them all. It's the most important book. This book tells you about God. There are people in the world and they tell us there's no God. But if you want to learn about who God is, come to the Bible. And from the beginning, in the beginning, God. And it tells you what he did. He created the heavens and the earth. And everything that we need to know about God is contained in the Bible. Because God has revealed himself here. It is his special revelation about himself. And then there's another three-lettered word, and it's called sin. And sin came into the world at the beginning. And the Bible tells us how that happened, and how because of Adam's sin, you and I and everybody that's been born into this world are born the same way. We are born with a sin nature. And because of that sin, we are separated from God. And if you want to know how we stand before God and what our sin is and what our sin will do to us one day, here's where to go, to the best book of all, the most popular book in all the world. This is still the best seller in all the world. The Bible tells you about your sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then this book tells us what we deserve because of our sin. Here's a God. He's a holy God. We have sinned against Him. We are separated from Him. And because of that, the Bible tells us there is a judgment. A judgment. One day we're going to stand in the court of God, and God is going to sit upon the throne, and He's the judge. And He's going to judge all men. No one will escape the judgment of God. No matter who they are, no matter what part of the world they come from, they must stand before God. And there is a judgment. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. It has already declared what will happen to us if we die in our sin. It's death, and that's just not physical death. That's eternal death in that awful place that is called hell. This is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us about eternity. You're going to live forever in one of two places. In this life, you'll have some days, some years. We trust that you'll have many. Some people die when they're young. Some people die when they're old. You might get 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and even more in this life. But then, eternity. And eternity is forever. We can't really understand that. Forever and forever and forever and forever. We try to measure it by time. We say 1 million years, 2 million years, 1 billion years. Where will you be 1 million years from now? Because you will still be existing. You will still be living in one of two places. In heaven or in a lost eternity. If you die in your sin without Christ. The Bible tells us about heaven. It tells us about how to get there. And the most important message of this book, and with this I'll finish, is the cross. You've heard about the cross, where Jesus died, where He suffered, where He paid the price for our sin. When our sin was laid upon Jesus Christ, and He suffered for us. You know what a substitute is? Some of you play football. Somebody gets injured, you bring a substitute on, they take the place of that person. Jesus Christ took the place of sinners. He took thy place. He stood in for me. He went to the cross and He suffered for me. And that's the heart of the gospel. And that's how to get to heaven. There's a wee line of a hymn, and it says, the way of the cross leads home. And that home is heaven. Children, have you taken the way of the cross? Are you going home? Are you going home to heaven? It's the most important thing. When you come to Sunday school and you sit in your class and you learn these things, it's the burden of our hearts and our teachers that you will come to the Savior, that you will come to the cross, and you will start for heaven and meet us there one day. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you come to the cross? Do you belong to Him? Can you say, I'm going to heaven? Let's bow together in prayer. And what we say to the children, we say to all in this meeting tonight, so important for mums and dads, grandparents, other relatives, to know their sins forgiven, to know it's well with their souls. We can help you. That's the main reason why we're here tonight, to share the gospel, to help you to Christ, to show you there's a way of salvation, a way to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ, by what He did at the cross. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for tonight, for helping the boys and girls take part, Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible, the revelation that we have of God and about our sin and how it separates us from God. And yet that revelation of Christ, the Savior of man. How we praise thee tonight, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And we know that it is through Jesus Christ. We pray for our children and their families that the Lord will save them by grace. And Lord, even tonight, if there's someone here at our Sunday School Social and they don't know Christ, may they turn to him and seek him and come to know him and have their sins forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Think about what was said. If we can help you, that's why we're here. Now, I understand there's a little video. Is that right? Do you want to explain that, or I can hand over to Wesley at this stage. I want to thank Wesley, our Sunday school superintendent. I want to thank our teachers, all the work that they do. You see the children tonight. Lovely children, every one of them, all with their wee personalities. And our children are well looked after by our teachers. And our teachers love them for the Lord and want to see them saved. And so we thank you, Wesley, and your team for all you do.
Okay, boys and girls, you've been very patient and very good, and we're coming near the end of our evening and we'll soon be able to get our tea. But before we do that, we're going to have our prize distribution. We've got a wee video, hopefully it'll come up here, of our Sunday school camp. We want to watch it just for a couple of minutes. We have our Sunday school camp every year, and boys and girls who are 6 years old and above are very welcome to come with us on camp. So Paul, if you can just run that there and they can have a wee look. And you watch out, those of you who are there, and see if you can see yourselves on the video. And while it's playing, I'll just talk about this year's camp. We're going in August, I think they This shows you some of the things we get up to. There's lots of fun. And this year we're going to Ganaway in Malayl. It's the Boys Brigade Centre in Ganaway, so we're going there for our camp. We visited We Are Vertigo, and we have lots of fun. Some of our ladies provided the food this year, so we did our own catering. Our last year, this year we're going to get catered for at the centre. And we always have a bonfire and sing choruses around the bonfire, and sometimes we toast mallows as well. And then it's always night. Bedtime isn't really just 8 o'clock, you know, it's a wee bit later. And some of us are braver than others, some very brave. And some prefer to stay on the ground. We all can eat. And we always have a good laugh.
Go on, Carrie!
we do look after them really well, you know. Some educational things as well. We went to Explorers and learned all about everything that's under the water. But the most important thing that we learn about is about the Lord Jesus, and we have devotions every morning and we have meetings every evening. So, we are limited in places, so we will be giving out the forms on Sunday morning, hopefully, get them out to all the boys and girls that are within that age group, and it will be first come with deposit. That's the general rule, so if you can get your form in as early as you can, if you want to join with us at camp. Again, can I just say thank you to all our teachers for another year, for all your hard work. It's really appreciated. We've been really blessed this year in that we've had a lot of new boys and girls join our Sunday school, and that has meant that we have had to have some new teachers as well. So we welcome the new teachers that started midway through the year. And we really appreciate all the work you do. Really appreciate all the work that's gone into tonight. Thank you for that. Thank you to Melanie and Elaine in particular for training the choir, and for the media team for all the work that they have put in as well. But I'd like to thank you parents too for sending the boys and girls out every Sunday morning. Really appreciate that. You know, it wouldn't be much fun for us teachers if we were here on a Sunday morning with no boys and girls. We do really love the kids, and we love having them here, and we hope that they love coming as well. But we want to reward them tonight, and we're going to give out some prizes. I'm going to ask City and Mrs. Park if they would come and help us with that. My wife always says these prizes take far too long, so we're going to try and go through them as quickly as possible. And after we have our prizes, then we'll be going out to the Carson complex to have some tea and some juice and for the boys and girls. So we'll move this here over so we don't trip. And we will try and go through them as fast as we can. Bear in mind, we have a lot more prizes to give out this year than last year. So the first are the shields for full attendance. So these are to the boys and girls who didn't miss a single day at Sunday school right throughout the year. And I'm just going to call out the names. You listen very carefully for your name and come up and get your award. Toby McCauley, Naomi Johnson, Joshua Fletcher, and Cherith Galt. Give them a wee round of applause. Naomi. Joshua. Leah Atkinson, Sarah Halliday, Daniel Picken, and Seth Campbell. Daniel and Seth. Jonathan Ray, Kerry Halliday, Rebecca Owens, and Cassia Park. Caleb McConaughey, Abby Halliday, Aaron Johnson, and Kate Lester. Caleb, there you go, Caleb. Well done. Aaron. It's Kate here. Kate's mine. Gemma Halliday, Isaac Atkinson, James Watley, Arthur Newell, and Scott Blair. James. James. And Isaac. And Scott. Well done, all of you who came every single day last year. And remember, there's a lot of children who just missed one day or maybe 2 days, and unfortunately can't give them a shield. But there's always next year. Maybe next year you'll be able to get full attendance. Now, we're going to move on to the prizes. The boys and girls get prizes for attendance and also for their examination. So we'll try and get through these as quickly as we can. Danielle McMaster, Amber Craig, Ava Fletcher, Andrew McConaughey, Daniel McClelland. That's Andrew's there. Ava Fletcher. I'm sorry, Ava. Daniel, there's Daniel's there. Cassia Park.
Amber.
Amber, do you want to come up for your prize? Amber, come on ahead. James Watley, Alec Kane, Caleb McConaughey, Kylan Bellingham, James Watley. Caleb's coming there now. Sarah Craig. Charlie Borland, Ruben Borland, Taylor Craig, Robert Watley, what's your name? Taylor. Taylor, that's Taylor. Yeah. Robert, are you? Casey Connor and Lexi McGuckin. There's Casey there. And that's Lexi. Casey McGuckin, Haley Jane Gray, Faye Campbell. That's Casey McGuckin. Haley Jane, Faye. Isabella Stewart, Ethan McGowan, Lily McGowan, that's Isabella's, Emily Parrott, Charlie Newell, Lewis Elliott, Adam Archibald, Tommy Watley, Seth Campbell, Adam Archibald. Adam's there. There's Tommy's there. That's Seth's. Ethan McMullen, Isla Dobbin, Ella Irwin. Kate Lester, Taylor Elliott, and Kobe McAfee. Kyle Doherty, Charlie Wilkinson, Calvi Brindley. He's Kyle. Okay. Ella Irwin, I think we called that there. Samuel Pickham, Jonathan Ray, and Isaac Atkinson. Sophie Barron, Joshua Fletcher, Matthew Cole. Matthew. Byron McKinney, Carson Brenley, and William Brenley. William Adair, Samuel Gibson, Calvin Mullen, and Luke McCauley. Ronan McMullen, Lennon Blair, Jake Borland, Kerry Halliday, Keziah Owens, Madison Barron, Kendra Elliott, Grace Glenn, Katrina Nickel, Leah Atkinson, Sophia McCandless, Alicia Morrison, Emma Taylor Dunlop, Alyssa Nickel, Lydia Owens, Millie Blair, Naomi Johnson, Sophie McCauley, Sarah Halliday, Jemima Owens, Kyle Connor, Lucas Blair, Kyle Blair, Jemima, there's Kyle, and Lucas, Elijah Owens, Joa Owens, Kaylee Simpson, Andrew Archibald, Jessica Dobbin, Arthur Newell, Lewis Parrock, Grace McCandless, Bethany Fletcher. There's Lewis. Grace. Lewis McConaughey, Sarah Glenn, Cherith Galt, Catherine McCauley, and Sarah Johnson. Abby Halliday, Rebecca Blair, Scott Blair, Toby McCauley, and Jordan McCauley. Terrace Parrock, Jed Owens, Jenny McCachan, Rebecca Owens, Gemma Halliday, and Aaron Johnson. Kers. Jenny. Rebecca. Now we've come to some prizes for small ones that just haven't started Sunday school yet, but they hope they're going to be with us very shortly. So they've been very good in church, so we've got a wee prize for them here. Daniel Archibald, Harry Moore, Rose Moffat, James Irwin, Daniel Newell, Seth Hegarty. Elizabeth Bernabeu and Abigail Bernabeu. Abigail's coming, you give her the tour. And there's Seth behind you. There you go. Abigail's. That's our two there. James Irwin. Robin Morrison, Zach McConaughey, and Susanna Park, and Michael McLellan. Zach. You've all been to sleep. Daniel. That must be Daniel's here. Michael McCallum, yeah. Michael. And Robbins. There you go. Susanna Park. There you go. Right. Right, that's all the Sunday school prizes, but we do have some awards for those who attend the Bible class. And some of these are not really children, but I did ask the Bible class leaders and they said they all deserved a prize for coming every week. So I hope I don't embarrass anyone, but I've got something here for you. Lydia Moore, Emily Hanna, Rebecca McCauley, Daniel Glenn. I think these ones deserve a round of applause. Daniel Glenn, Rebecca's not here. William McDermott, Ben Galt, Hugh McClanahan, we back past Sunday school.
Thank you very much.
Patricia Mills. You can blame Phil for this. Rebecca Ray, Christopher Blair, Joshua Park, Lewis McCauley, Chloe McCauley, Anna Pickin, and Lydia Pickin. I think that's everything as far as I know. Just like to thank City and Mrs. Park for helping us through that rather long task. Hand back to yourself.
We're almost finished.
Just a wee moment or two. Leslie will give thanks for the food. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. Doesn't always work, does it?
That's maybe okay now. Thank you. Wes, I give thanks for the food just in a moment, but we always, at our Sabbath School Social, thank our musicians who do a great job for us all year round. And so we want to ask Diane to come forward, please. We always give the opportunity every year to say something.
Thanks.
And it's no thanks every year, so. You're welcome. And we have three organists that have been sharing responsibility, doing an excellent job. I want to thank them sincerely. Elaine, Melanie and Sylvia, if they'd like to come forward. Elaine, thank you very much. Melanie, you could do a wee trio. Aye. Sylvia, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And for all you do with the choir as well.
Thank you very much.
One other little acknowledgement we want to make. I'm going to ask Phil, maybe if he'll do that for us tonight.
This is the last one and it won't take long at all. Many of us come to church on the Lord's Day and we engage in public worship here and we go home and we just enter into normal life again. But an awful lot goes on behind the scenes, and our office bearers bear a great responsibility here in the church. And there is none so busy as our church treasurer. And for the past maybe 5-6 years, our brother Erwin Holmes has been the treasurer. And he's had the responsibility of taking all that money away and making sure that it's lodged. He's done all the necessary bankings and paid all the bills and everything else. And it's a great position of responsibility and trust that we entrust to our brother. And so we're going to ask Erwin if he'll come and we'll just give him a love gift. We know that Erwin for quite some time has longed for a bright red Ferrari. Well, you can keep longing, brother, because we haven't given it you. But if you want to come up, Erwin. This is a love gift, Erwin, and the card simply says, "Dear Erwin, thank you sincerely for the years given as treasurer of the church. Your labour amongst us, all those painstaking hours to keep the books and accounts right. It's very much appreciated. We enclose a small gift in recognition for your service. May the Lord bless and reward you for your diligence and faithfulness. And it's yours in Christ, Minister the Reverend Park, the Session Committee and Congregation of Hebron Free Presbyterian
Church." Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Phil. I did forget when I was thanking everyone to thank the most important people here tonight, and that's the boys and girls. And they did very, very well. They've been sitting there for a long, long time, being very patient, and we're just going to do one more thing, and that's we're going to pray. We're going to ask God's blessing upon the food, and then you'll all be free to go. The boys and girls, you've been tremendous tonight, just as you are every Sunday, and we really, really appreciate that. So we're going to all just bow our heads, nice and still, just for a couple of minutes. Let's all close our eyes. We're going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for the boys and girls and how Thou hast helped them through the night and all their pieces and everything that they have done. We thank Thee for the message, Thy word that was brought so clearly to us this evening. And Lord, we just pray now that You will Help the boys and girls and the mums and dads to remember what they have heard tonight. And Lord, we pray that even after this service is over, you will continue to speak to boys and girls and grown-ups as well. And Lord, now we pray that you will bless the food that has been prepared for us. Help us to enjoy it to thy glory and keep thy hand upon us throughout the remainder of this night, for we ask it for thy name's sake. Amen. So if we want to just make our way over to the Carson complex, and boys and girls, if you want to give your prizes to your parents, then you'll be sure that you'll not lose them.